So we're going to spend the next 2 weeks on Pesach. I think we have two weeks, and then the last week before Pesach, I don't think we're going to have classes. So we'll discuss reclining, and we'll see how long this takes us. We know that there's a concept of reclining at the Seder. For me personally, I don't know, everyone has their own experience. For me personally, I find it to be just more annoying than it is an expression of freedom. You know, you try to figure out, like, am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? Like, what exactly am I supposed to be doing? It's uncomfortable when you're doing it. So it's but ultimately, the idea behind it is about an expression of freedom. Because that's what free people used to do. They used to do it in a very different way than what we do today. It used to be that when they would eat, they would have beds. Each person would have their own, like, table, their own tray and table. And they would also have beds by the tables. So it was like, you know, what's a good example? It's like you're like lying down and eating at the same time. So
is that a Roman tradition, though?
I'm not sure. It was what was going on at the time in Bavel. That is also what was going on in Bavel. And so they instituted such an idea of leaning. Perhaps next week we'll get into the discussion of why does it apply nowadays, if it's no longer an expression of freedom, of what a free person would do. So maybe we'll deal with that next week. But today I wanted to deal with something else. So we have to do it to show like we're free people, right? That's why we do it. So we'll first read the Mishnah, and then we'll see where this takes us. We start off with the Mishnah. This is in the first source. It says, "Erev Pesachim Samach Lemencha Lo Yochel Adam Ad Shetechshach." Just the first line of the Mishnah, which really is not applicable to our discussion too much, says that when it comes to Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, you are not supposed to eat when it gets close to Mincha time, and the reason for that is because we want you to be hungry for the Seder. When you have matzah, we want you to be hungry. Fine. The next line is what is important to us. Afilu ani shebiyisrael lo yochel ad sheyesiv. And so we say that even a poor person, in a member of Klal Yisrael, he should not eat until he reclines. He's not allowed to eat until he reclines. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. So you have to recline when you eat. Now, if all I had was the Mishnah, and without knowing what you did last year at the Seder, when would you have to recline?
Before eating.
Before eating what?
The Seder, the...
When do you have to recline?
Well, after dark.
After dark, okay.
When you're eating the meal.
You're saying it's when you're eating the meal. Okay. Does anybody remember last Seder if they were reclining the whole meal or not?
Yeah, I was going to say, this looks like you should be reclining for the whole thing.
It sounds like you should be reclining for the whole meal.
Yeah.
That's what I would think also. Just from the simple understanding of the Mishnah, it should be that you recline for the whole meal. Mm-hmm. Now, do we recline for the whole meal?
No,
just for the wine.
Not only the wine, there's also something, and for the matzah, and the afikomen.
And the afikomen.
The matzah, the afikomen, and the wine. That's what we recline for. But it is important to note that according to the Mishnah, it seems like, the simple explanation of the Mishnah, seems like you have to recline for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stipulate when you're supposed to recline. It just says you're not allowed to eat without reclining. So I would assume that just means that you have to recline for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Fine. That would be the simple explanation. Now, if you have to recline, there is this other idea out there, which is a true idea, that we only recline by matzah and by the cups of wine. Matzah, afikomen, and the four cups of wine. So why, if that's true, so then you have to ask, why only in those places? Meaning as follows. If it's about expressing chirus, freedom, so then I should have to, you would think that you have to recline the whole time. Why should it only be for part of the time? The whole night is about an expression of freedom, so I should recline the whole time. So why is it only by matzah and the four cups of wine?
Four cups of wine are the four expressions of redemption.
Okay.
So that's...
But why is it limited to that?
Maybe that's a minimum.
Maybe that's a minimum. Okay, it's an interesting point. Maybe it's a minimum. We'll get to that. That seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, that it is a minimum.
And I'd say that nothing expresses the Seder more than the matzah and the wine.
Okay.
Like, if you think of anything
maybe
about...
Maybe those are the mitzvahs.
That is the meal.
Okay. So you're saying excellent points here. These are all excellent points. Either you could say matzah and the four cups are the minimum. I'm not saying... what both of you are saying aren't contradictory. Because even if they're the minimum, you have to ask, well, why these as opposed to anything else?
Right.
Even if they are the minimum. So... then the next question is, why specifically these? Why is this the requirement, the minimal requirement, if in fact you could also, there's a great value in reclining the whole time? I'm not saying there is. The Rambam says that there's a great value in reclining the whole time. And so the answer to that seems to be, what Des is saying is a very important point, which is that this, the four cups of wine and having the matzah might be the focus of the meal. It could be there's different ways of saying it. You could either say it's the highlight of the meal because they represent the mitzvahs of the night. Those are the mitzvahs of the night, and so therefore they represent the highlight of the meal. Alternatively, you could say that since these are obligations, a meal, of a basic meal, forget about the Seder night, a meal consists of bread, and in the times of the Gemara, a chash of drink, a drink of significance, is wine. That would be wine. So you have to lean at the most significant parts. Bread is the basic form of the meal, and then the wine is the drink that you're having. So you should lean by both of those, and that could be the minimal requirement. That's definitely one way of taking it. That leaning is really it applies to the whole meal, but we will limit it to just the basic requirements, which is just the matzah and the four cups of wine.
So, do we have an understanding? While we still had the capacity to have the Korban Pesach, the pre-Talmudic Seder, of what was happening at that Seder, were we leaning when enjoying the Korban?
That's an interesting question. There is also a discussion about leaning by the Korban Pesach.
Okay.
By the Korban Pesach. There is a discussion.
That's also a when we could have it. That would be a definitive moment in the meal.
Well, potentially yes, potentially not. You could also argue that it's not like bread.
Yeah.
That meat is... bread is really the basics of the meal. Having the meat is just like the additional part to the meal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make an argument in the other direction. But that is a discussion as well, whether you have to lean by the Korban Pesach or not.
Yeah.
So that's one... this is all one approach, which we'll get into. There's also another approach, which is to say that this is not a minimal requirement. This is all that there is. You only have to lean by matzah and the four cups of wine, and you don't get anything out of leaning for the rest of the meal. It's not there's absolutely no value to reclining for the rest of the meal, and it only applies to matzah and the four cups of wine. And so then the question is why? Why would that be so? If the point of reclining is to show that you're free, so then why would it be that it's specifically limited to only matzah and the four cups of wine? Right, so that would be the question. So if you have any answers, I'll take it now. If not, we'll get to it.
Matzah is one of the symbols of chayrut in Pesach.
Okay.
What's chayrut?
Chayrut is freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom. So it's one of the symbols of freedom. Okay. So what you're trying to say, correct me if I'm wrong, is that because matzah and the four cups of wine are also symbols of freedom, those two represent symbols of freedom, so therefore we will act in a free way when we're having the symbols of freedom.
To emphasize
the symbols of freedom. It's not that this is an independent mitzvah to recline. It's that when you're actually performing the action of the symbolic actions of freedom, which is matzah and the four cups of wine, so that is when you're supposed to recline. Either because that it makes sense to recline that way, or if you don't recline, so then maybe it's counteracting what the whole purpose is. If you don't recline, you're supposed reclining, at least in the times of the Gemara, is what free people did. If you're not doing that, so then how could you tell me that what you're doing right now, if eating matzah really represents freedom? So they would tell you to recline when you're having matzah. But that's drastically different than the first approach. Because according to this approach, reclining is not its own mitzvah, but it's really subsumed under the mitzvah of matzah and the four cups of wine. What would be a practical difference? I would ask you as follows, and we'll get into all of this.
Give us a second to think about it.
Yes, let me repeat the two ways of understanding it. One way of understanding reclining is that it's its own mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of the night to recline. And so therefore you should recline ideally all the time. While you're having your whole meal, for a whole straight hour and a half, you should just be reclining. The minimal requirement is just the basics of the Seder, which is matzah and the four cups of wine. That's the minimal amount. But ideally, you should recline for the whole thing. That's one approach. Because there's a mitzvah on the night to recline. The second approach is that there's no mitzvah to recline on the night of the Seder. There's no independent mitzvah to recline on the night of the Seder. The mitzvah to recline is just a subcategory of the symbols of freedom of the night. What are those symbols of freedom? Matzah. Having matzah represents freedom. So when you're having matzah, you should recline. And when you're drinking the four cups, that also represents freedom, so you should also recline. When you're performing those actions which represent freedom, so then that's when you should recline. Because it's a part of the mitzvah of matzah, or it's a part of the mitzvah of the four cups. But it's not that there's an independent mitzvah of reclining. Right? The first approach is saying that there's an independent mitzvah to recline. So recline as much as you could. The whole night you should be reclining. The other approach is saying that no, there's no independent mitzvah. It's just recline when you're performing the actions of those actions that represent freedom. Right? So those are the two ways of understanding this mitzvah of reclining. Right? One is that it's a separate mitzvah of the night, and the other one is that really it's just subsumed as part of a separate mitzvah. Now, just to clarify, reclining on the Seder is a rabbinic law. That is not, it's not biblical. It's a rabbinic law to recline. And so either the rabbi said that you should recline as a separate mitzvah for the whole time ideally, or they said that you should recline specifically for matzah and for the four cups of wine because they represent freedom. Okay. So those are the two ways of understanding it. Now just to clarify those two different ways by showing a difference between the two, I would throw out the following question. What would happen if you did not recline?
You didn't perform the mitzvah.
Is that, did you not perform which mitzvah?
You would not be able to eat.
Which mitzvah?
Of reclining.
Of reclining?
So reclining is a mitzvah.
No. Well, I don't know. But that's according to the first approach. If reclining is its own mitzvah, so then if you did not recline, you did not fulfill the mitzvah of reclining.
But if you don't recline and it's not its own mitzvah, then have you fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah?
Have you fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah?
Or the drinking the four cups.
Or the drinking the four cups. If you did not recline, do you have to do a repeat to drink the four cups of wine?
Eight cups.
And the matzah? Have 8 cups of wine? Do you have to repeat everything? So it can be a joyous night.
It's counteracted by the matzah.
It's counteracted by the matzah. These are all acts of freedom. These are all supposed to...
Yeah, but you have to put the emphasis on the symbols because these are the most visible symbols of Pesach. So you have to put the emphasis on this.
Well, again...
The rest, if you do everything, if you recline everything, you lose the emphasis part.
No, you still have matzah and the four cups of wine. It's not like you don't have
but
those.
You don't put the in Hebrew we say dagesh. We don't put the dagesh on it.
Well, you have the dagesh on it just because those are the mitzvahs of the night. Everyone knows
so
that you have to have matzah.
Rabbinical.
Reclining is for sure a rabbinic
and the wine
law.
And the matzah is
the wine matzah. Is also rabbinic,
okay.
the matzah is biblical.
Thrice.
It's biblical. But the idea of reclining specifically by these, so again, if you do, it's either its own mitzvah to recline, and let's say ideally to recline the whole night, whenever you're eating, to recline, which seems to be the simple explanation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say to recline specifically by matzah and the four cups of wine. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, just you should make sure even a poor person should make sure to eat while reclining, literally they shouldn't eat unless they recline.
But doesn't something which comes from the Torah get even more precedence than if it's from a rabbinic. So the matzah is Torah. So that should get precedent.
Well, the rabbinic law could include more than matzah. We have to see what the.
Not talking about the matzah is the rice. Right?
Yeah. So it does definitely. There's it's more important to have matzah than to recline. You should do both.
Yeah.
But in terms of just reclining, does it include also beyond the eating of the matzah? Does it include everything that you're eating in an ideally? So if you forget to recline, so if there's a separate mitzvah to recline and you forgot to recline, so you have not fulfilled the rabbinic law to recline, but at least you still fulfilled eating matzah. Mm-hmm. You ate matzah. But if reclining is a part of the mitzvah of matzah, or part of the mitzvah of drinking the four cups of wine, so then if you do not recline, so then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah on a rabbinic level. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah, or you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of drinking the four cups of wine, if you don't lean during the four cups of wine. Which means that you would have to do it again. You would have to have matzah again. Not only would you have to do it again, but perhaps you would have to make a new bracha. Maybe you have to make it. You didn't fulfill the matzah on a rabbinic level, so maybe on a rabbinic level you have to make a new bracha on matzah, or a new bracha on the four cups of wine, if you didn't recline. If it's part of a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah of the four cups of wine or of matzah, so this could have serious ramifications. Whether reclining is its own mitzvah or whether it's really part of a separate mitzvah.
Plus, you would have said an unnecessary mitzvah, unnecessary bracha.
Yeah. Would that's another ramification. Did you make an unnecessary bracha if you forgot to recline afterwards? If it's its own separate thing, so then it's not you made the bracha on the matzah, so that's fine. You had matzah. There's a separate mitzvah which you didn't fulfill of reclining, but that's separate. That has nothing to do with the matzah itself. So again, based on the simple reading of the Mishnah, it seems to be that it's applying throughout on anything that you're eating, right? Just to point out Rashi on the Mishnah, this is the second source. He says as follows. He says, "Afilu ani shebishal lo yochal belele psachim ad sheyesev kederach bnei chorin." Until you recline, like free people used to recline. And how do they do that? Zeich lecher, to remember the freedom that we had when we left Egypt. And he has the following three words: b'mita v'al hashulchan. How do you have to recline as a free person? With a bed and by the table. And by the table. Which word is extra here? When I have to... What do you need to recline?
A bed.
You need a bed. Do you need a table to recline?
No.
Excellent. You do not need a table to recline. Right? So why does Rashi add the fact that you need a table? He's explaining to us how they recline. So he says that and they would recline by leaning on a bed. That's the way to recline. So why does he add also the ala shulchan, by the table? What does that have to do with reclining? So
to make sure that you don't go to your bedroom and eat in your bedroom. Just to make sure that you stand the table.
And let's say you did eat in your bedroom, would you not fulfill the mitzvah? Like, why wouldn't you fulfill the mitzvah?
Well, you're not at a seder.
Let's say you had the seder in your bedroom. Why does he have to tell you that it's by the table?
Because there's eating by the table. So if you're reclining and you're not eating, it's only really a little bit of freedom, because people can recline anytime. But if you're reclining and you're eating, that's really high-level stuff.
Okay.
Or he's connecting those mitzvahs together, like you're saying. He's connecting eating and reclining as two. They're not divisible.
I think it's eating. I don't know about the mitzvah about matzah, but at least eating. I think he's telling us that reclining on its own does not represent freedom. When they didn't just, recline during the day just without doing anything. It was specifically reclining while they were eating. So it's b'mita v'ala shulchan, it's with a bed by the table, because the only time that you can fulfill reclining, according to Rashi, is if you're eating. It's that you're eating and reclining at the same time. So if you're not eating and you're sitting by the Seder at the table, so then there's no need to recline. You would only have to recline if it's while you're actually eating. That's the way to recline. It's as you're eating, so then you recline while you're eating, which apparently that's what they used to do. That's what free people would do. They would lie down on their beds and eat as they were lying down. So again, here, the emphasis is on specifically while they're eating. Fine. Let's get into the Gemara. So now the Gemara,
Has there ever been, anybody practice the tradition of actually having the Seder with
I think there are those who are stringent. There's some from what I recall, some of the Israeli rabbinic leaders would try to be stringent and bring like a cot or something to the table. Maybe they you probably have to change. You'd have to change your setup in the dining room.
Maybe you have a dining room table.
You'd have to have individual trays, which is what they used to have. But there are some who used to. From what I recall. So there are those that say what we do is that you can't just lean, but you have to actually have to lean on something. It can't just be that you go like midair.
Yeah.
But you would have to actually like lean on something because that's what they used to do. They'd recline on a bed. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Lean on me.
Lean on me. There you go.
Lean on your neighbor.
So the Mishnah doesn't mention anything about the specific mitzvos of the night, of matzah and the four cups of wine. The Gemara starts to discuss it. So if you look at source 3 here, this is where the Gemara starts to discuss it. Afilu ani shebishal lo yochal ad sheyaseh. Even if a poor person, this is a quote from the Mishnah, even a poor person should not eat until he reclines. So the Gemara says as follows. Itmar. Matzah tzar chaseba, maror ain tzar chaseba. This is the Babylonian Talmud. Keep this in mind. This is the Babylonian Talmud. Matzah needs haseba, maror does not need haseba. You do not need a recline when you eat maror. Why don't you need a recline when you eat maror?
Because maror is not a symbol of freedom.
Excellent. Maror is not a symbol of freedom, so therefore you do not have to recline by maror.
Or maybe because maror, you don't need it enough to consider the meal.
You still have to eat. There still is a measurement for maror.
Yeah.
You're supposed to not eat enough to do an after bracha with it or anything. Right? Like
no, that's by karpas. You're thinking about karpas. You're thinking about karpas. You are supposed to have a shira for maror. Anyway, the Rishonim already, the earlier commentators explained that the reason why maror is different is because it's not a symbol of freedom, which makes sense. Now, do you know from here what about the rest of the meal? The Gemara says matzah you have to recline. Maror you don't have to recline. What about the rest of the meal? The Gemara doesn't discuss the rest of the meal. So I'm not sure, according to the Gemara. I would assume that if you had to recline for the rest of the meal, or at least if it was an ideal, the Gemara should have said something about it. That's what I would assume.
Do you not recline to Gemara just based on this, because it's not the symbol of freedom, or because it's actually something that's sad or bitter?
The language is that it's not a. I forgot the exact language, but
meaning if it's just the lack of the specific inyan of symbol of freedom, anything that is not directly associated with freedom, presumably would not.
So then that would include the rest of the meal.
Right.
Correct. But if it's specifically because it's about the bitterness, so then maybe you would have to. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a good point. But the Gemara doesn't discuss it. What happens with regards to the rest of the meal? The Gemara then goes on to wine. And this gets a little detailed. I don't want to get stuck in the details here. But it discusses wine. Yayin. What about the four cups of wine? So this is a dispute. Itmar mishmeder of Nachman tzar chaseba. Itmar mishmeder of Nachman ain tzar chaseba. There were different people who learned from Rav Nachman differently. Understood from Rav Nachman that you have to recline for the four cups of wine, and others heard from Rav Nachman that you do not have to recline. And the Gemara then says that really it wasn't as drastic as the way it sounds. He says v'lo pligi, really everyone heard from Rav Nachman that you do have to recline. It's just that you only have to recline for two of the four, not for all four, but just for two out of the four. Ha b'tarti kase kamai, ha b'tarti kisi basrai. Either for the first two or for the last two that you have to recline. And I don't want to get into the rest of the Gemara because it deals with there's a lot of details involved in it. But ultimately, it's a question of what's a higher level of freedom. Is it the first two cups or the last two cups? And that's what the discussion is about. But and then the Gemara concludes and it says, because we don't know which one it is, whether it's the first or the last two, we say to recline for all four. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Recline for all four. Okay, so the Gemara clearly is discussing matzah and the four cups of wine. It doesn't discuss what happens with regards to the rest of the meal. So that it doesn't discuss. So it's a little bit unclear what would happen with regards to the rest of the meal. But at least from the Babylonian Talmud, from the Talmud Bavli, there is a discussion with regards to matzah and the four cups of wine. What is fascinating is that if you look at the Talmud Yerushalmi, you'll see the language of the Yerushalmi and how different it is from the Bavli, from the Babylonian Talmud. So if you look at the Jerusalem Talmud, which is in source 4 here, Amar Rav Levi. Rav Levi says as follows: Ulefi shederach avadim lios ochlin umad, v'kan lios ochlin mesubin, lohodiyo sheyatzu me'avdus l'chirus. It's the way of slaves to eat standing. Slaves would eat standing because they're on the run. They don't have a meal sitting down. They eat standing. But and v'kan. But now we're trying to show that we are free. So therefore, kan lios ochlin mesubin, we recline, to show that we left from slavery to freedom. So Rav Levi says that we have to recline. That's one opinion. Rav Simon b'shem Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Rav Simon in the name of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. He's seemingly arguing. He seems the fact that they quote him, it seems to be that he's arguing on the first opinion. He says, Oso kezayis. Now the next word is unclear whether this is part of the transcript of the Jerusalem Talmud or not. Oso kezayis rishon, either the kezayis of matzah that you're having or the first kezayis, that first olive's worth that you're having. She'adam yotzei bo bepesach tzarech l'ochlo mesav. Let's say the first kezayis. Let's read it as the first kezayis. The first olive's worth of matzah that you have to eat reclining. Okay? That's what the second opinion says. That's what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says. So what is the dispute? There's a dispute going on here between the first opinion and the second opinion. The first opinion says that slaves would stand and we would recline. Free people would recline, so therefore you should recline. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, you should recline for the first kezayis. For the first olive's worth, that's what you should recline for. So what are they arguing about? Everyone's agreeing that you should recline. So what exactly, what's the difference between the first and second opinion?
After the first
kezayis. After the first kezayis. Excellent. After the first kezayis. And this is how I believe the Pnei Moshe, one of the classic commentators on the Babylonian, on the Jerusalem Talmud, on the Talmud Yerushalmi, according to the first opinion, Rav Levi, he's saying, when should you recline? Does he say anything about when you should recline? It seems to be always. You should always recline. Rav Levi says, recline the whole time. Rav Yishuv ben Levi says, Oso kezayis rishon shadam yotzei bo pesach tzarech l'ochlo mesav. You only have to recline for the first kezayis, for the first olive's worth of the matzah that you're eating. That's what Rav Yishuv ben Levi says.
Doesn't mention anything about the wine.
It's also interesting that he doesn't say anything about the wine. That's also it's an interesting point that he doesn't. There's no mention for the wine. So why doesn't he mention the wine? A. There's another point here, which is that he says, if you have that transcript of Rishon, of first, he says, you only have to lean for the first kezayis, for the first olive's worth of matzah. So there are those that say, why does he say for the first? Who says that there's necessarily a second? The olive's worth is the minimal amount that you have to eat.
Because then you fulfill the mitzvah by eating
the first, but just say, he should just say, once you have an olive's worth, so then you fulfill, then lean when you have that olive's worth. Why is it specifically the first olive's worth that you have? That's when you fulfill the mitzvah.
What about the afikoman?
So it might relate to the afikoman. It's a good point that it might relate to the afikoman. There are those that want to say as follows, that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi agrees to the first opinion in an ideal way. ideally, you should lean the whole time. The first opinion of Levi says, lean the whole time. He doesn't have any specifics about when you should lean. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, really, ideally, you should lean the whole time. But as a minimum, so then for the first kezayis that you have, for that first al's worth that you eat, so then you should lean for that. Because that's the first thing that you're having. The first food that you're having, the first kezayis of matzah that you're having, which is part of the meal, so then lean for that. Because that's the first. The emphasis is on that's the first. Because that's the minimal amount. But he really agrees. Fundamentally, he would agree with the first opinion to say that on an ideal level, you should lean the whole time. It's just that as a minimal requirement, we'll tell you, do the first. The first is the matzah is the first part of the actual meal. We have a little bit of eating beforehand, but of the actual meal, matzah is the first part of the actual meal. So make sure to lean for the first part of the meal, that first hour's worth. And that's the minimal requirement. But really the emphasis is not about the matzah, but it's about the meal. It's really the meal. You should lean during the meal. The minimum is the beginning of the meal. But really you should be leaning during the meal. Which might explain why he doesn't talk about the four cups of wine. Why isn't he discussing the four cups of wine? Because the emphasis here is about the meal itself. It's not about the specific mitzvos of the night, about matzah or about the four cups. It's about the meal as a whole. And he's telling you, lean during the meal. The minimum is the beginning of the meal. But really you should lean during the meal, which fits exactly with our first option. Right? We had two different options as to what this mitzvah is of reclining. The first option is that it's its own mitzvah, that you should recline over the course of the meal. Our second option is that the mitzvah of reclining is a subcategory of specific mitzvos that relate to chayrus, that relate to freedom. Rav Levi doesn't mention anything about any mitzvah. And according to this explanation, Rabbi Shimon Levi also is not discussing a specific mitzvah. He's just discussing the beginning of the meal. Recline during the beginning of the meal. It's all about the meal. You should recline during the meal itself. The minimum is during matzah, during the first, because that's the first part of the meal. But it's really about, the emphasis is about reclining during the meal because it's its own mitzvah. So from the Yushalmi, it seems to tell us from the Yushalmi that the mitzvah of reclining is a separate mitzvah. It's not a subcategory of other mitzvahs, but it's really its own mitzvah. From the Bavli, it's really unclear. From the Bavli, it's very, because the Bavli has an emphasis on matzah and on the four cups of wine and maror you don't lean. They're discussing the mitzvahs of the night. They're not discussing the meal as a whole. They're discussing the specific mitzvahs of the night. So from the Bavli, it's unclear, but you could definitely take the position from the Bavli that reclining is really a subcategory of those other mitzvahs, of the four cups of wine, of matzah. From the Yushalmi, it seems like we're not discussing the mitzvahs of the night. There's a separate mitzvah of reclining. Recline the whole time, ideally. That you should really recline the entire time. Fine. So there's perhaps a dispute here between the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud, between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi.
I don't quite remember the order, but we actually drink wine before we eat matzah at the table, don't we?
We have two cups of wine before and two cups of wine after.
So from this comment, it seems that you're not even obligated to lean. If he only says...
Potentially, according to this second opinion, yeah, he doesn't discuss drinking.
The wine at all, the first part of the
meal. He does not discuss it at all, yeah. He doesn't discuss it at all.
I don't understand. So you're saying that in the Bavli one, they're connecting it to the different mitzvahs.
Potentially, I think it's open. But it's open to that explanation.
But in all of them, they're still connecting, always reclining with some mitzvah of eating.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Done outside of eating.
I think that is true. It has to be done within the context of eating. The question, though, the big question is whether reclining is its own mitzvah, which then can be done the whole night while you're eating the whole night, or it's specifically within matzah, or specifically within the four cups of wine. And they're really subcategories of those mitzvahs. Just to be aware, on Thursday I'm going to reject a lot of what I'm saying today. But
on Thursday?
Thursday. I give a class also on Thursday.
On the same topic?
This will be on the same... well, we're going to reject what we're saying today.
Oh.
Okay. But, I can't stand rejection. I'm not coming.
Moving directly at you.
So it's supposed to be redirected at what I'm saying.
Thursday, it's 8:30 p.m.?
8:30, yeah. Beit Midrash.
Well, you know that
I saw a different time, actually, on the BTLC website. And on Thursday, 8:45 is Mara, followed by 9 o'clock your class.
Yeah, it's 8:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So where is it at? Beit HaMidrash?
Okay. 8:30. 8:30 at Beit HaMidrash.
1 minute. Is it at Beit HaMidrash?
Yeah. At Beit HaMidrash, not here.
8:30.
8:30, yeah. Okay, let's read the Rambam. That's what the Gemara has to say about this issue. We're gonna discuss the Rambam, and if we have time, I'm not sure if we'll have time, to see one other idea. This is the Rambam Maimonides, and you tell me what you think. How he understands this mitzvah. He says as follows: Bechol dor v'dor, in every generation.
That's straight from the Haggadah.
That's correct, except there's one letter that's different. Chayev adam, a person's obligated. Laharos es atzmo, ki ilu hu ba'atzmo yotzim atam yishibin mitzrayim. The an Arab Haggadah says chayev adam liros es atzmo. A person has to view himself. As if he left Mitzrayim, he adds a hey, laharos. Anybody here good with Hebrew to know what the difference is between laharos and liros?
It's to make it look like he is, as opposed to
make it to appear. One is to show himself, and one is to appear. Laharos is to appear, to do something that represents freedom, not just to view yourself as though you left, but to actually perform an action that shows that you are somebody that left. So there's an obligation to show that you left Mitzrayim, which is why Sfardim, I think, are big on these minhagim, to perform these actions of actually going through the whole. They whip each other during the Seder. That's not hard, but
certain Afghans do that.
Afghans, some Sfardim do that. They whip each other to show that they're slaves as they go through the Haggadah, to show that they're slaves, and then they experience the freedom. Yeah, then they experience the freedom. Yeah. They put mats on their shoulder, maybe, and they walk around. So this is a lot of these are Sephardic customs, which fits with the Rambam. The Rambam Maimonides was a Sephardi Jew. How do we know this? How do you have to show this? Shenamar vosanu hotzi misham. The verse, the pasuk tells us that we left. It's not just that. They left. But we actually left Mitzrayim, so we have to show that we actually left. V'aldavar zet tzivah kodesh baruch hu b'tori. This is a biblical obligation. V'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa klomar ki ilu ata ba'atzmacha ha'yisa eved. You have to view yourself as though you were a slave. V'yatzatza l'chiras v'nivdesa. And that you left, and that you were freed, and that you were redeemed. That's the biblical obligation. Now, in Halacha Zayin, in the seventh law here, he explains that there's a rabbinic obligation that they have based on this biblical idea. They have to show that you left Egypt. Lefichach, therefore, kishesoed adam b'layla hazeh, when a person is eating on this night, tzarech lechov lishdos, v'umesiv derecheres. When you are eating on this night, you have to eat and drink, v'umesiv derecheres, and you have to lean in a free way. And then he says, and the second idea is the second way of doing it, of showing this idea of leaving Egypt, is by drinking the four cups of wine. But what's the first way? The first way is that when you eat and when you drink, and you have to lean as a free person would lean. Now, in Halacha Zayin, in this seventh law, does he say anything about matzah? Leaning by matzah, or leaning by the four cups of wine? By seven, by the seventh law. Is there any mention to matzah and the four cups of wine? No. One second, we'll get to it in a second. But he doesn't mention it. When he's introducing this concept of leaning, he says, when do you have to lean? When you eat and when you drink. Meaning it also seems like eating requires leaning, and drinking requires leaning. When does he discuss matzah and the four cups? In two halachos, in the next halacha, in the eighth halacha, it actually is at the very end. There's a wide gap between what we read and this part. He says, "V'emesai tshichin aseva b'shas achilas matzah b'shtias arba kosas elu." He says, "When do you have to lean? When do you have to lean? By matzah and ubishtiyas arba kosos elu. By matzah and the four cups of wine. That's when you have to lean. If I were to ask you, if you understood the concept of leaning as just being a subcategory of matzah and the four cups of wine, if that's the position that you hold, that it's really a subcategory, would you write it in the same way that Maimonides wrote this?
No,
I don't think you would.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't. If this is really just a subcategory of matzah and the four cups of wine, I wouldn't say in the seventh law, in Halacha Zayin, therefore when a person is eating and drinking on the night of Pesach, that he has to also lean. I wouldn't say that at all. I would say that there's a mitzvah of matzah, and there's a biblical mitzvah of matzah. There's a rabbinic mitzvah of the four cups of wine. And because they represent freedom, so therefore you also have to lean when you're having matzah and when you're drinking the four cups of wine.
But the preamble in the beginning says, "Bechol dor vador chayav adam la'arot et atzmo kilu ba'atzmo yatsa." It's telling you what you have to do. It's setting out the parameters.
Correct.
And once it's set out the parameters, you have to go through the symbols.
I agree. You have to go through the symbols.
So you have the parameters, and then you have to go follow the symbols.
Correct. But for reclining, it seems from the Rambam that reclining is not a specific subcategory of the mitzvah of matzah or of the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. It seems to be its own mitzvah. Its own mitzvah that you could do at any time. And the Rambam says, but when's the minimal requirement? The minimal requirement is just by matzah and the four cups of wine. Perhaps because matzah represents the eating. The four cups of wine represents the drinking. Minimally. You have to recline minimally by eating by the matzah and by drinking by the four cups of wine. He even goes on to say as follows, and this is the key line here, the last line, Usha'ar achilasa v'shtiyaso, and the rest of his eating and drinking, imhesav ha'rezem eshubach. If you lean, it's a praiseworthy thing to lean for the rest. Vim lav enotzarech. But if you don't, so then it's not a problem, but it's praiseworthy to lean the whole time. There's great value in leaning the whole time. Where does this idea come from? If it's specifically a subcategory of matzah and the four cups of wine, it wouldn't be praiseworthy to lean the rest of it for the rest. It has nothing to do with the rest of what you're eating. But if you say that, no, it's its own mitzvah. There's a separate mitzvah to recline while you're eating. So the minimal requirement is matzah and the four cups of wine. But to do more, so then that's praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy to continue eating. And where did the Rambam get this from? So they say the Rambam got it from either from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that we quoted before doesn't specify a specific mitzvah. It's not like reclining is specifically with regards to matzah and the four cups. The Yerushalmi doesn't discuss any specific mitzvah. Or it comes from the Mishnah itself. If you look at the first source, the Mishnah itself just says whenever you eat, you have to recline. It's not by matzah or by the four cups. It's whenever you eat, you have to recline the entire time. We only have 8 minutes. So
if that was the case, why is it optional? According to
the no, because it's... Even within the Yerushalmi, with the Jerusalem Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Levi says it's only by the first, it's only an obligation by the first kezayis. Right. Mm-hmm. By the first alzer. So there's a minimal requirement. Otherwise, it makes sense because it would be very difficult to constant. If you missed the one bite of reclining, you're going to tell me that you haven't fulfilled anything. So there is a minimal requirement, and then the rest is praiseworthy. That is the opinion of the Rambam. I'm not saying that we paskin or we don't paskin like this Rambam, but that's the opinion of the Rambam. Maybe we'll get into the practical applications on Thursday. There's one more point here, and we have a few minutes, so we'll see but I'm just going to sum up. We'll get to this next point on Thursday. So just to summarize, we're discussing the rabbinic law to recline at the Seder night, and the Mishnah tells us that you have to recline whenever you eat. Lo yochal ad sheyesev, whenever you eat, which seems to go against what our customs. If you go through the Haggadah, it says to recline at specific points. To recline by the matzah, to recline by the four cups of wine. So we address the question of, well, what is this mitzvah of reclining? Is the mitzvah of reclining its own mitzvah that you should recline whenever you eat as an ideal? And then there might be a minimal requirement by matzah and the four cups of wine, but really ideally you should recline the entire time. Or perhaps the mitzvah of reclining is just a subcategory of specific mitzvahs. It is not its own mitzvah, but it's really part of the mitzvah of matzah or part of the mitzvah of the four cups of wine, because those are mitzvahs which represent freedom. So you should recline when you perform those mitzvahs which represent freedom. So from the Talmud Bavli, from the Babylonian Talmud, it's unclear. They do discuss matzah and the four cups of wine, but it's unclear in terms of that question. From the Yerushalmi doesn't seemingly mention matzah and the four cups of wine. It seems to say just for the meal. You should recline for the meal, which seems to be the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that reclining is its own mitzvah, and so therefore you should ideally recline the whole time. The minimal requirement is by matzah and the four cups of wine. We will see on Thursday that the Rush potentially argues. The Rush is the next two sources is the Rush. The Rush, you could understand within the Rush that it's really just reclining is a subcategory of eating matzah and of drinking the four cups of wine. And we mentioned at the beginning that this would have various ramifications, such as if you forgot to recline, so then maybe you made a bracha which you should not have made because you did not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah or of the four cups of wine. Should you repeat eating matzah in a reclined way? Do you have to repeat the four cups of wine? So this would have various ramifications. So we'll get to that hopefully on Thursday.